Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Krista Joy from DisneyWays.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. Today, we are super excited. We have a very special guest with Celebrations Magazine. Now, Celebrations Magazine is an unofficial print magazine dedicated to discovering the magic of Disney. Each issue celebrates the secrets, stories, and history of the most magical place on Earth. You can find out more at celebrationspress.com. We are so excited to welcome the creator and editor of Celebrations Magazine and also guide to the magic, Tim Foster, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
So, Tim, let's start with how did Celebration Magazine come about? What was the impetus of this whole magazine and why you wanted to create one?
Well, basically because there wasn't one. How's that for an answer? the impetus came from two things. First, a lifelong love for Disney, which we all share. In real life, I'm a graphic designer, so I'd always been intrigued with the idea of doing my own book or my own magazine, that sort of thing. And you mentioned Guide to the Magic. The Guide to the Magic kids book was actually the first thing I had done, and that was a lot of fun to put together. After that, I've been going on for a while. Not sure what the spark was, but it just popped in my head that it would be cool to do a magazine where, instead of just having one book being done with it, I could do something where we could continually create something every other month, as it turned out, where we can share the latest news and pictures and everything that excites us with everybody. And putting the magazine would just be a lot of fun for me to do, as that being my passion on the art side. So it was just a natural coming together of two parts of the whole, as they say. So.
Yeah. When did Celebration Magazine start?
When?
Yeah, what year?
Well, we actually just had our 5th year anniversary issue in the fall of last year, so we're getting ready for issue number 36. So we're about, I'd say that's 5.5 years old.
Wow. Yeah. Congratulations, that's great. Okay. So share with us, what's the best and then what's the worst part of doing or creating a Disney magazine?
Well, the second part's hard. The best part is, well, it's about sharing more than anything. And it sounds kind of corny, but I know we write a lot about our experiences and what we feel when we go to Walt Disney World, and, you know, beyond the attractions, beyond the spectacle and beyond everything that goes on there, the thing that a lot of people come back to is the concept of sharing the magic with someone you love or your friends or your family. So with Celebrations, that's been the most fun, whether it's me sharing my experiences or having other people involved that are writing articles, taking pictures, that are also sharing their views and the things that excite them about Walt Disney World. And even when our readers write in with their silly photos and fun stories and, or conversely, things that touch them on a personal level, it's just amazing, as many people as you talk to, how many different ways Disney touches the lives of so many people. And that's the most fun, just hearing about all that and being able to share that. The worst part is probably 11 o'clock when it's deadline night and I'm still not done yet, I guess. So, yeah. But there's really no, other than that, there's no downside to it. It just, even 5 years later, it continues to be a lot of fun to put together. And the great part about Disney is there's no shortage of things to write about. We could go on and on and on and on because there's so much there. So.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I think probably for a lot of it filled the void where, you know, Disney had a magazine, the Disney Magazine, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And yeah. This started up and I was like, well, all right, that's going away. Maybe it's time to, I mean, even the Disney store catalog was like, it's Disney stuff I can look at, you know. I think that magazine probably fills the void for a lot of people that, you know, had a magazine from Disney and it just vanished.
Yeah. And I have to add, this magazine is gorgeous. I know Celebrations, you guys have been around for a while. Tim, mm-hmm. I hear you on Lou Mangiello's podcast all the time. You're very famous. I never really went so far as to actually order the magazine. When I got this thing in the mail and saw it and started flipping through the pages, I have to tell everybody, it is absolutely gorgeous, professional. It's just, there's something about having a real magazine in your hands and not staring at a computer, you know, reading the words. It's just really, really something to see. So I recommend everybody go and get your subscription right away.
Yeah,
I hardly do too. Yeah, actually, I just wanted to go back to why we did the magazine in the first place. That was actually went into it too. I didn't consciously go into it knowing there was a void out there. I kind of discovered that as we made the magazine. Like, there was one, now there's not. Well, that's kind of perfect timing. But the goal too was to make not just the magazine even. It was to make like a collectible souvenir kind of thing. That Lou and I actually coined the term subazine at one point. Didn't really catch on, but the idea was we wanted to make something that you could keep and cherish and collect, not just something that, you know, you read once and threw away. And so we went into a lot of effort to try and make that happen. And it's amazing too, we have a bunch of people tell us how much they like holding it and leafing through it and seeing the pictures. And we felt too it'd be a nice way for people who go to Disney, you know, maybe once or twice a year, to continue to, you know, enjoy the magic and live the magic all year round and not just when we're there. So you get to give them a little taste of Disney all year long, no matter what time of year it is.
Yeah, it's really cool.
How'd you wind up corralling, you know, all the people that write the articles, you know, like Steve Barrett and Allison and so on? How'd you corral them all to commit to writing an article?
Well,
because that's tough.
Well, actually, it was pretty, it wasn't as hard as it might sound. I don't know if people remember, but several years back, and gosh, it must be 5 or 6 years now, there was Deb Wills of All Ears, shameless plug for her, I guess, but they used to run the Mouse Fest event down in Disney,
yep,
where all the fans got together. So I had gone down there before I had written anything, before I even did the kids' book, because I talked to one of the writers just out of the blue. They had an email, and they said, you need to go down there and meet all these people. And I met them all. I met Steve and Lou and Allison and a bunch of the other people. And I think the great thing about the Disney community, and part of why this is so much fun, is that everyone is so friendly and willing to work together. We all believe in the same thing. It's not about you versus me. It's about sharing the magic with everybody we can, and we're all in it together. So it actually wasn't hard at all to get them to want to contribute to the magazine. I think everyone was just excited to be a part of it and have another way to get their word out about what they think is great about Disney. Just like, you know, we all love going on, or I love going on Lou's podcast and vice versa. Not for any personal gain, just because it's a chance to share Disney with the people we're friends with and people out there. So
yeah.
And then as we move along, we get, you know, volunteers all the time that, hey, love to write, I have pictures, would love to help. So it is a real community kind of magazine, and if there's a lot of us that work together to put it out, and it's fun for everybody.
Absolutely. So we, for the people that aren't quite as familiar with Guide to the Magic, can you talk a little bit about that for us?
Okay. Well, I said that was the first thing I did was a guidebook for kids, and which we call Guide to the Magic for Kids. And the reasoning for that was similar. It was, you know, I had the idea of doing some kind of book somewhere, and we love Disney, so it seemed like, well, let's do a book about Disney. And we did notice at the time, and even today, there weren't really any books for kids about Walt Disney World. The only exception being the Disney has the Little Birnbaum one, or however you say that, you know, for kids, by kids, that one. But other than that, I saw there was a real void. There were books for people with kids, but that was more about here's where you find a stroller and that kind of thing, not for the kids specifically. So I went into this, if I were a kid, what would I want to do about with a book when I went to Disney? So we made an activity book with places where they can check off the attractions they rode. They can rate them. They can write down their special memories. There's stickers in the back for each attraction, so they can put them on the pages to remember which ones they visited. There's a journal with it, so they can record what they ate, souvenirs they got, what they rode, all that stuff. And a whole section for World Showcase to collect autographs and stickers and that sort of thing. So the idea was to make a book that wasn't for the grown-ups. It wasn't a guidebook. It wasn't telling you how to save money. This was for the kids to let them enjoy Disney in their own way. And the one of the things that came out of it was that parents had a lot of fun with their kids filling out the books, kind of a whole win-win for the whole family. So that's how that came about.
Oh, that's great. I love it. I'm like semi-familiar myself, and I just wasn't able to do a whole lot of research. So I appreciate you sharing all that. Everybody needs to know about those. That sounds awesome.
This is more of a Walt Disney World, or can I use this in Disneyland too?
No, I actually get asked that a lot. I'm a strictly Florida visitor. So yeah.
You like the orange bird.
Yeah, they're all for Walt Disney World. The Celebrations magazine, we do have a column for Disneyland, but the main focus is on Walt Disney World. And it is curious because we found out, we weren't sure about that going in, whether it should be just Walt Disney World or encompass all of the Disney parks. And we did find out pretty quick that Florida people are Florida people and California people are California people, and they rarely mix. You know, we got a lot of comment that we love that it's about Florida and that's it. Even to the point where we hinted we might add a Disneyland column, and we had some people say, no, it's got to be all Florida because I don't go there. So. And yeah, I've been asked a few times about Disneyland and cruises as well, like a guide to the magic book for cruises. I get seasick, so I've never been on one. So it's kind of funny. But perhaps in the future we'll cover that. And we've touched on cruises in the magazine once or twice too. But
yeah. Well, it's important to give people what they're looking for, what your audience is asking for.
Yeah. Well, most of them go to Florida, so that keeps...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And someone said to us, you know, Disney Florida is a destination. Disneyland is more localish.
Right.
A lot more of the local population. It's really not a destination. I don't know. For me, since I live in Florida, it's my destination. When I'm on a plane, my destination is Disneyland. You know, I guess if I lived in California, I probably wouldn't be saying that. I probably would say the complete opposite.
We'll see. You know, whether we have a Disneyland book or version of the magazine or something out in the future. We never know. We just might do something like that. We get enough call for it. And similarly for the cruises and things like that.
So how often do you have to update the book, Tim? I mean, you know, Disney World is an evolving masterpiece, you know? I mean, all of the announcements that were made last week probably sent you into a tailspin of all the updates that you're going to have to do.
I knew enough about them to get them into the book. We actually do, we update the kids' book about once a year towards the tail end of the year. So the new one actually came out around like January, February, which fortunately that was enough ahead of time that we knew about the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. So that is in the book and has a sticker at the time. And even if I made the book today, we don't have pictures, of course, but you know, there was plenty of artwork and fun stuff to include in there and some facts and stuff. So, but once a year seems to work out pretty good. Once in a while, we get caught between things like I think Camp Minnie Mickey is actually in the book when in fact it's not there anymore, but things like that. And people understand that most guidebooks mm-hmm. are once a year anyways.
Yeah, it's a real challenge to keep up. Everything changes so fast.
You don't call me for some reason to tell me about these things.
But. Yeah.
they don't call anybody but Lou.
Yeah. But, you know, for Fantasyland and the Mine Train, that had been in the works long enough, we knew about it long enough that we were able to catch up and keep up with it. So
yeah, because they had made that announcement in D23 like 2 years ago. So
yeah, I remember that. In fact, we're in Celebrations. We're doing the cover story for the next issue. Will be the Mine Train, which is kind of tricky right now because we have to make the article and do the pictures when it's not open yet. I was writing in the article as I was at D23 when they did first announce it and had the model of the Mine Train that would swing back and forth, which I remember being very cool. That seems so long ago.
Yeah, totally. Well, now we had Lou on the show to talk about money saving tips. Can you talk to us about planning tips? What are a couple of your favorite planning tips that you tell people when they ask you about, you know, what do I do?
Well, the first thing I tell them to do is don't go when the kids are out of school.
Yeah.
And that surprises people. It's funny because I still run into a lot of people who would swear that Christmas would be a perfect time to go because nobody's going to be there. It's Christmas. And I tell them quite the opposite. But even aside from that, we talk about if you have the time, understanding some people are only there for a few days and can only do so much. But if you're able to take your time and explore and don't be in such a hurry to go from A to B to C to D and miss everything in between, I highly recommend staying on site if you're able to. I just being totally immersed in the experience, that helps you get the most out of it. But it's us that I guess asked most about when to go. You know, when kids are in school and obviously it's hot in the summertime and all that kind of stuff.
But, yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, those are really good tips to share with everybody. That's like
tip 101 that everybody gets right out the gate.
Yes, but. it can make a big difference in how much you enjoy your vacation. So that's awesome. Okay, so real quick, can you just go over again where everybody can find all your products and where they can find you online?
Well, we're all under one roof now at celebrationspress.com, and there you'll see information about the magazine. And be able to subscribe to it. The Guide to the Magic books are there as well. And the other thing with Celebrations Press is we actually just did a big update to it. So now we have a lot of different blogs going from many different people covering a wide range of topics. And we also have a whole section on Walt Disney World itself and the attractions, which is, we think, a lot of fun to click around and explore. We have little known facts, history, hidden Mickeys, all kinds of stuff for all the attractions and all the parks. So not only can you visit Celebrations Press to find out about the magazine, we're hoping to make it, you can go to Celebrations Press and just click around for a long time and have fun reading about Walt Disney World. Finding out things you might not have known before.
Yeah, not surprisingly, it's a nice, easy sight on the eyes too, as well. Just like your magazine, the layout's great, and you know it's a fun one to look at. It doesn't give you a headache like some of them do. So,
well, my parents will be happy that the art school money went to good use.
Well, Tony, did you want to go ahead and do the Oh My Disney quiz with Tim, and we can warn him about what that's about?
I didn't know I was getting a quiz.
Well, we like to punish every guest with a good
quiz.
That's
all right. I'm good, I think.
All right, so think like inside the actor studio, Tim. Rapid-fire questions. You can answer with one-word answers, or you can, you know, give a statement and qualify it, or whatever kind of floats your boat.
Is pass an option, or is it not that difficult?
It's not that difficult. I think you'll know the answer to most of these.
Okay.
All right. Question number one. If you could hang out with any Disney character, who would it be?
See, that's hard. Figment.
Okay. See, it wasn't that hard.
As I said, it was hard.
If you could ride only one Disneyland or Disney World ride for the rest of your life, what would you ride?
The Haunted Mansion.
Either version?
And that was tough. Either one.
Okay. Favorite Disney song is?
Oh, I know. The one that Jesse sings that makes me cry in Toy Story 2. And She Loved Me. That's the one.
Oh, okay.
And I'm crying now thinking about
it. Your favorite Disney movie?
Stick with Toy Story while I'm at it.
If you could be any character from Toy Story, who would you be?
Buzz Lightyear. What? Of course. I can fly.
Exactly. Well, fall with grace.
Or fall with style. Yeah.
Fall with style. And I've done that a lot.
Me too.
Do you have any hidden talents?
I can flip quarters off my elbow. I don't know if that's what you were looking for, but...
Absolutely.
Sure.
Okay. We would like video of that to put in the show notes, please.
So
I'll flip a funnel cake off my elbow in World Showcase. Everybody thinks I love funnel cakes, and I don't know why that is. It's Lou's fault. Lou Mangiello's fault.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Spreading those rumors.
Yeah, he started some story that I like funnel cakes. I don't know why. So everybody offered me them. So.
Okay, so how many quarters can you stack on your elbow and flip off?
20. I don't know.
Really? Can you go that high, 20?
I don't know. I haven't tried it in a while. But I amaze the kids at work by flipping like 5 off my elbow. Wow.
I used to do the same thing, so I know exactly.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's that David Blaine levitation trick, too, and that scares everybody. So.
Mm. Something most people may not know about you is?
My last name? I don't know. You got me stumped on that one.
Okay.
I don't like funnel cake. I'll have to go with that
one. There you go.
There you go, yeah.
I won't like it, but I don't want 20 of them on my door.
And the last question is, your favorite Disney snack is?
That's a good question. Dole Whip. Well, more specifically, pineapple float.
Okay, there you go. That's it?
Oh.
That wasn't that hard, right?
That was the hardest thing I've done since... I don't know how well I did, if I passed or not.
No, you passed.
Okay. I thought you were going to ask me, like, what year did Snow White?
No, no.
I don't know.
We can't torture people with that kind of information. People have a hard enough time with this kind of quiz.
Yeah, I know. Well, those are personal. I mean,
yeah,
it's not A, B, or C. It's like I'm digging deep.
Yeah.
And you can't start, like, my favorite Disney movie. They're all my favorites. It's like picking your favorite pet or something.
Right.
Well, and tomorrow it could be a different answer. So
it probably will be. And I just said Toy Story because I just said that before. But
it's a reason to have you back on the show so we can hear all your.
Yeah, and we'll go. Well, I'll do one for each movie, then I can say a different one.
Okay. go.
Toy Story 1. Toy Story 2. Toy Story 3.
Yeah, there you go.
It actually got me in a Toy Story mood now. I might have to go fire that up.
And well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, every day is a good day for a Toy Story.
So. Sure.
So when are you coming down? Coming down for the 24-hour event?
No, I'm not sure when I'm coming down next. I had a thought of coming down for the Mine Train opening, but remembering that's Memorial Day and it's going to be hot, I'm going. And here, I'll tell you, the one thing most people don't know about me, which you know because I told you not too long ago, is my daughter just graduated from college. Yay.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through one reach upon the stars.